Welcome to Previously on X-Men, the podcast that looks at X-Men comics, movies, shows, characters, and more. I'm Allie Fesmeyer.
I'm Nick Gunning.
And these are probably not the voices you expected to hear today.
Allie, what are you doing? What are you doing here?
I am hijacking this podcast.
Oh my gosh. Folks, you're listening to one of many April Fool's Day host swaps here on the Radio Meanwhile Network.
So hopefully you feel fooled.
You do. Is it a good kind of fool where you're like, oh, you got me?
Right, or is like it like a, oh man,
a really upsetting kind of fool? Yeah, so Allie and I typically host But Have You Tried for the David A. Howe Public Library. And that is exactly where Hillary is this week. Hosting But Have You Tried, where she and Caleb Fesmeyer are talking about the show Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm. So if you need to hear Hillary's voice in your ears,
if you're missing her,
headphones, that's where
right.
to go.
That's right. Hillary is over on But Have You Tried. Eric is co-hosting 90210 Here We Go. Kendra is co-hosting This Endorian Life. And I am going to be on 90s Music Got Me Like talking about Return of the Mac. Do you know that song?
I do not. I've never even heard those words
in that order. We'll roll it after this episode. It's a lot of fun. Yep. But Allie, what are we talking about today here on
Previously
on X-Men?
Today we are talking about X-Men, of course.
Yes.
But we'll be covering the two-part crossover between Spider-Man and X-Men, the animated series, Mutant Agenda, and Mutant's Revenge.
Exciting time. So I just have to ask, have you ever seen X-Men, the animated series?
No.
Okay. Have you ever seen Spider-Man, the animated series?
No, but I did watch a bunch of the really old cartoons.
Oh, like the 60s, like...
I think so. The ones where it's like, it's in Technicolor. Wow, isn't that amazing?
That's a good show.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So, just in general, then, what is your history with the X-Men?
Very minimal.
Okay.
Very minimal. So this is a little bit of like a new try for me. So it kind of ties into our podcast.
But Have You Tried, where you try new things. So what is your introduction to the X-Men? Is it this episode? What do you got?
I've read comic books where X-Men appear.
I see.
That's mostly it,
okay.
I have to say.
Okay. Well, Psylocke is in the Captain Carter comic book, which is tied in with Agent Carter. You read that, right?
I did read that.
Well, there you go. So Betsy Braddock, or I think they call her Lizzie.
They do, because it's, you know, alternate universe.
Alternate universe. So
yeah, I saw that actually a lot, because last night I was like, I need to make sure I know who, because there's like certain characters that I was like, I think this person is an X-Men,
okay,
but I'm not 100% positive.
Wow.
So I was like, I need to make sure that I'm right about this. And so I looked and I saw that and I was like, wait, that's a name I sort of recognize from the comic I was just reading.
Do you have a favorite X-Men?
I'm going to go with Storm.
Oh.
Because she has showed up in a number of comics that I've read. And every time I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah.
This is good. I like this.
I like how Spider-Man riffs on Storm in this episode a little bit. Well, she does one of her like, wind, bring me. And he's like, spider, webs of spider, be sticky. That was very funny. Very funny. So I watched both of these shows religiously as a child, X-Men and Spider-Man. And they were like basically the soap operas for people my age, because everything before this, the Spider-Man show you referenced, things like Super Friends, were very much one and done. There could be a worldwide catastrophe in the next episode. Everybody's fine. Everybody's happy. But Spider-Man and X-Men were some of my first experiences with like true serialized storytelling. And I haven't watched Spider-Man, the animated series, in a long, long time. But it really was appointment TV for me. And I did forget just how melodramatic it is.
Oh my gosh, it was a little melodramatic.
He just has so many. He's like in a Shakespeare play. Like action happens and he looks off to the side and is like, what about me? That could have been. This was my one and only, you know, like all this stuff.
I was not expecting how melodramatic it was going to be. It was kind of fun, honestly.
Which, when you watch the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, have you watched the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans?
Those are the
like Tobey Maguire
Spider-Mans? Yes, okay. Yeah.
Also very dramatic. Very that's melodramatic.
True.
So
that's true. He's an angsty boy.
Yeah. I mean, when you go back to the, you know, the Stan Lee, Steve Ditko originals of Spider-Man, it's that way too. I mean, he's just got a lot going on. Spider-Man has a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
Which again, even from a comic book standpoint, Superman and Clark Kent and the DC characters of that era tended to be much more straight-laced and like, I've got a job to do. Whereas Spider-Man was like, oh, frick, I got to pay rent, you know?
Yeah, well, I feel like Spider-Man is usually like either a teenager or like a new adult. And I mean, it is fair to portray that with a lot of angst and fear and trembling.
Yeah.
Like the it's
genuine.
Accurate to that experience.
Yeah. I just finished the Spider-Man game on PS4, but I have the PS5 like upgrade version with all the DLCs, and I've been having a great time. Love this game. Now, I know Caleb, who's over on But Have You Tried this week, also loves the game. So I'm sure you've some of this Spider-Man
game. I've seen
game
so many frames. I have
life.
Not played it myself,
okay.
But I almost feel like
when
I don't
like
need
you can
to, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, let's dive into some facts about the episode. So these originally aired September 30th and October 7th, 1995, directed by Bob Richardson. Part one, you have a story by John Semper and J.M. DeMatteis, who Hillary and Eric actually interviewed on this episode.
That's pretty cool.
On this podcast. J.M. DeMatteis was on to talk about his Iceman run, which is a very cool episode because he doesn't write a lot of X-Men. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of neat to hear him talk about that. And actually, on the Library podcast, an earlier version on the All the Books show, I interviewed J.M. DeMatteis, and we talked more about his book, Kraven's Last Hunt, and a Joker book that he did around that time as well. So very cool couple of interviews there. The teleplay was by Michael Edens, who also wrote several episodes of X-Men, the animated series. So one thing that stood out to me watching this is the X-Men are all dead on. Like, they feel very much... It's all the original voice cast from the X-Men animated series, okay. So that helps a lot.
For sure.
And you really get that X-Men music every time the X-Men show up on screen. But their dialogue felt right. And sometimes when you have a character sort of ported in from another show, they don't talk like
they can
did.
Feel very weird.
But both of these episodes were written by people who also wrote for X-Men, the animated series. So
that helps.
That checks out. Part two, the story was by John Semper and Michael Edens with a teleplay by Ted Peterson and Francis Moth. Again, both wrote episodes of X-Men, the animated series.
Nice.
So we have the whole voice cast from X-Men here reprising their role. We get a lot of X-Men in part one. Really only get, well, I guess they show up. But the primary action, we get Beast and Wolverine in part two.
Yeah, it's a lot of Beast and Wolverine.
Yeah.
And a little bit of others.
They kind of come in as the heavies in the end here. Here are some of the other people that we've got in the cast. Christopher Daniel Barnes is voicing Spider-Man here. Voiced many versions of Spider-Man over the years and recurred as Lenny on Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, wow.
We have Mark Hamill as the Hobgoblin. Mark Hamill, best known for playing the character of Luke Skywalker. Maybe you've heard of him.
I have heard of him. I didn't realize it was him voicing Hobgoblin, though. And now I feel like I need to go back and like play like a clip of him talking as Hobgoblin.
What's
and, like,
your history
listen for
with
it?
Batman, the animated series? Do you... Nothing.
Nothing.
Because okay. He very famously
voices exists.
The Joker in that. And it's a very similar style. Mm-hmm. Like the Joker and Hobgoblin, they have a lot of things going on here.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Roscoe Lee Brown is the Kingpin. He also did voices on Batman the Animated Series, Static Shock, and The Real Ghostbusters, which I just saw. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Oh.
Had a great time.
Nice.
Do you care about the Ghostbusters? No, you don't.
Well,
just be honest. It's not even our podcast. You can say whatever you want.
It's not that I don't care about the Ghostbusters. It's just that I haven't really experienced the Ghostbusters.
In your own personal life.
In my own personal life.
Got it.
Like, I did watch the episode of Stranger Things where all the kids dress up as Ghostbusters. And I did approve that.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that's something. Maxwell Caulfield here as Alistair Smythe. He played Michael in Grease 2.
You're a big Grease fan, aren't you?
I am, and Grease 2 ruined his
aren't you
career.
Drinking out of a Grease mug right now.
I am drinking out of a Grease mug. Thank you, Ellie. Yes, this is from the Grease on Ice tour from 1998, which I attended, and it was a hot mess.
But you still got the mug, so.
I got the mug, and I've kept it for like 25 years, so I guess, you know, it meant
something.
Worth something.
That
yeah.
That is a mug older than I am.
Oh, look at that.
That's so weird to think about.
What a beautiful antique I have. Anyway, Maxwell Caulfield here. He was in Grease 2 with Michelle Pfeiffer. He voiced James Bond in 007 Nightfire. And of course, Brenda's older boyfriend, Jason, in an early episode of Beverly Hills 90210. This is a plug for 90210. Here we go.
That's what I figured.
Eric
yeah.
is going to be hosting this week, guys. Finally, we have Linda Gary as Aunt May. She voiced Colleen in the 80s Spider-Man cartoon, plus Teela in He-Man. She was in Filmation's Ghostbusters, The Real Ghostbusters, The Karate Kid cartoon, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, James Bond Jr., Pound Puppies, Superman. This woman...
That's a lot of things,
she is
man.
Voice actor royalty,
yeah.
which I didn't know until I started looking in for this episode.
Now you know.
So I do.
All about
I
Linda
do.
Gary.
You know. So these episodes that we're doing are sort of part of a larger story that's adapting a comic book story where Peter is going through these changes and mutations and becoming
is
more and more
just puberty?
Spider-like. It's not puberty. It's a good question. It's a good question. But he's sprouting arms and the story goes to crazy places. And we're kind of right in the middle of this where Peter is being like, something's going on with me. I got to figure this out somehow. It's a mutation. Who knows about mutants? The X-Men. That's the X-Men theme.
Okay, okay, okay. Good. Now I'm prepared.
Okay, let's do it. Let's dive into this episode. So we start with a little bit of a previously on Spider-Man, and we just get a little bit of what I just told you. He's going through something. He rolls in on the X-Men, but they don't know each other, which I was a little surprised about.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, there's only so many heroes in the world. You'd think
True.
That they'd, I don't know.
Yeah.
Crossed paths more.
He knew who the X-Men were. He knew that Charles Xavier was like a mutant expert. But I felt like they didn't know Spider-Man. Did you get that?
I wasn't sure. It seemed like maybe they kind of knew who he was, but like didn't really care about him.
What
or J. like
Jameson's
yeah,
throwing down.
Maybe.
Okay. So he rolls in on the X-Men. We get the big reveal. We get the nice music cue of the X-Men theme, which we will hear a lot. He escapes and ends up in the Danger Room, which is basically like it's a training room, but it's sort of like a Star Trek-y holodeck. Where
yeah, I saw that and I was like immediately like, holodeck. I know what this is.
Gambit's eyes are wrong. I just want everybody to know that Gambit's eyes are wrong. The white parts of his eyes are just white. And in the X-Men, they're always black.
I need to look at a picture now.
They're weird. Yeah. In the X-Men, the animated series, it's black with a pink pupil. And this was just a normal eye, and it was very disconcerting. It really... And Wolverine has ears. His costume has like little ears. Huh. So there was some slight... You know, they were more in the style of Spider-Man, the animated series, and they were just some weird choices that were made.
All the pictures of Gambit that I just found, he's like squinting, so I can't tell what his eyes look like one or the other.
You know.
Whatever.
You know how he is. Or maybe you don't, because you don't know anything about the X-Men.
Well.
This is where Spidey mocks Storm when she does her big elaborate wind, and he lets her have it.
That is a little mockable. You can't blame him.
It is. Another thing, Beast is known for quoting literature in X-Men the Animated Series, but I feel like every other thing he says was like, that was a poem from John Donne. You know, it was like everything.
I thought that was funny.
It was like, oh my gosh. Okay, put the quote book away, my friend. okay, then we see an exchange here between Landon and Hobgoblin. We come to learn that Hobgoblin is blackmailing Landon because he knows that Landon has this thing going where Landon says he's trying to cure mutants, but we eventually find out that he's actually trying to destroy the mutant gene, and it's a whole
thing. But at this point, it's kind of confusing exactly what's going on.
It
he's
is
just
confusing.
Like,
you
is this
know.
When he's like, he brings that whole briefcase.
He brings the money.
And he's like, I've got your money, Hobgoblin. And Hobgoblin's like, perfect. And then he leaves and he's like, whoa, ha, ha. And it blows up. And Hobgoblin's like, eh, whatevs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I get blown up all the time. It's because I carry exploding pumpkins in my bag.
Yes. To make matters worse, the Kingpin thinks that Landon is making him an army of super mutants. So like everybody is just double crossing everybody here. There's a lot of power brokers and everybody's being lied to. So we know that Landon's up to something at this point. We don't quite know what. So Spider-Man has run away from the X-Mansion and Beast is like, I'm going to go help him. And Wolverine's like, you're stupid.
You know? It's so weird. Wolverine's like, this is so out of character for you. And he's like, you don't know me that well. And I'm like, it's not even that big of a deal. What's happening?
I know, but that's the melodrama. And this really reminded me of, because X-Men, the animated series, goes through a long process where the first season is very, very, very serialized, like every episode. And as it goes on, you know, Fox, the network, was kind of like, make it easier to drop in. And so they go to smaller arcs. They go to some standalones, which are weird. Eric and Hillary are having a time wading through some of these episodes at the moment. But this, the character development for the X-Men in this really did remind me of like the early days where we were threading a needle like regularly. Anyway, Beast finds Spider-Man and offers to help. And Spider-Man is open to the help, I think.
Ish. Well, when he leaves, he like runs away from the mansion and he's like, when I help everybody, but no one ever helps me when I need help. Again, the melodrama. Oh my
he's
gosh.
He's feeling a lot.
And then Beast literally like hunts him down to help him. So, you know, proved you wrong.
Well,
but
it makes sense that you thought he was going through puberty.
Yep.
There is a character, a recurring character in this, whose name is Leewald. And Eric and Julia Leewald are the ones who created X-Men the Animated Series. And they were interviewed on this show early on. So I think that's a little nod to that.
That's right cool.
There, which I thought was cool. Anyway, after Spidey runs off, when he and Beast talk, Beast is cornered and he gets captured. And Peter kind of goes through this thing, too, where you see him looking in on Mary Jane, looking in on Aunt May.
Very creepily, I will say.
Creepily.
Oh, my gosh. That's giving me, like, Edward Cullen vibes. Yeah. And not in a good way, just for the record.
Hold on tight, spider monkey. He thinks that he needs to leave because he's like, I'm hideous. Don't look
at me. Right? He's like, I'm becoming a monster. Yeah.
He needs to leave him behind. Anyway, back at the X-Mansion, they're like, has anyone seen Beast? His bed wasn't slept in, which was weird for them to notice, but they did. And Wolverine is like, all right, I'm going to follow him. And he gets to the place and he's sniffing around and he's like, I smell Spider-Man. I smell Beast and a bunch of strangers. So Wolverine thinks that Spider-Man lured Beast to this place for an ambush. And he's not happy. Wolverine's a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He goes where he wants to go. So,
well, isn't there that whole like conference thing that Peter tries to go to find out about his mutation?
Yes. Peter is going to a conference with the Brand Corporation.
And that's the guy who was doing the exploding briefcase.
Yes, he gave Hobgoblin the exploding briefcase. Landon is the one who is being blackmailed by Hobgoblin, who is saying that he's trying to cure the mutant disease, mm-hmm. who Kingpin thinks he's making a mutant army, but he's really trying
to
destroy
mutants. There's so much resting
mutants.
On this guy. Oh my gosh.
There's a lot. So yeah, Hobgoblin shows up and he's like, and there's a fight and the ceiling's about to collapse and Peter is distracted with Hobgoblin, but he kind of notices that the ceiling really should be falling.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's
it's
like this
not falling. Yeah.
Sound. And he's like, what? And then he
Curly
runs away.
From the Three Stooges is holding it up. So we learn the truth about what he's really wanting to do. They have Beast. They're going to use Beast as a test subject. They're gonna dip him in a big vat of chemicals.
They have him like this big cage with like electric bars? Question mark.
Yes, I guess I don't understand. Maybe it's just the easy dispersal, but the point is they're gonna dip Beast in this chemical vat, which is gonna make his mutant cells turn on all the other cells, just like killing him. And I feel like there's a lot easier ways to kill mutants than a vat of scientific goo.
Well, I guess the sense I had is that their plan was like, if it works on Beast, like he's the test subject.
Right.
If it works on Beast, they're going to like, I don't know, like pump it into the water or something.
Okay,
so I don't know.
So
it wasn't totally clear, but that was the sense that I had.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Beast is captured. Wolverine is out looking for Spider-Man and Beast. Spider-Man corners Hobgoblin, and he kind of figures out this whole blackmail scheme and mm-hmm. everything that's going on. Spider-Man's about to kind of get the jump on Hobgoblin when Wolverine interrupts and is like, hey, bub, you cornered my friend. And then they get into a little mini rumble.
And they're all three fighting. It's like Wolverine and Spider-Man are fighting, and then Hobgoblin will like swing in, and then they'll be busy fighting him, and then they'll kind of throw him away, and then they'll go back to fighting each other. And I'm like, there's an easier way to solve this. You could like deal with Hobgoblin together and then work it out. Whatever.
Yeah, just be like, all right, this is the immediate threat.
Yes.
Then we'll beat each other up. And that's our to be continued. They're coming to blows.
Right. They're like fighting, and Hobgoblin's like aiming a pumpkin.
That's our first episode. Yeah. And I will say, like, the X-Men content in this is really good. Like, if you're a fan of the X-Men animated series and you have not seen these episodes, I watched them on Disney Plus. Pretty sure they're available on DVD. They're definitely worth it because, again, the X-Men are right. You get the whole team. It's just cool to see Spider-Man, like, in the X-Mansion, see Spider-Man in the mm-hmm. Danger Room. To see these, like, voice actors and these iteration of these characters interact is just, it's very cool. And was a thing that I feel like didn't happen a whole lot, like crossovers, especially cartoon crossovers.
Yeah, that's fair.
Of this era, just not super common. It's definitely worth it. I thought it was a cool episode. And then we roll into number two, where it picks up right where we left off. So they're just in the alley fighting, and Hobgoblin basically triggers the alarms on the building so that the defenses of the building will also attack Wolverine and Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, and then don't Wolverine and Spider-Man, like, somehow, do they talk it out? Is that what happens? They're like, oh, wait. I didn't take Beast.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't take Beast? Mm-hmm. What? Yeah.
They have a real quick conversation, and then it's like it's an uneasy truce at this point where it's like, okay, well. But now Landon knows that they're there. He's got Beast. Hobgoblin is flying around. So the stakes are going up. Here we get back to Beast, and they're like, well, you know, it makes sense that you're the one we're going to test this on because this is basically your research.
And he's all like, I'm wracked with guilt that I did this
in
my past.
And he quotes Shakespeare, probably.
Probably.
and so we see like a Beast, not in the blue mutation, but just classic Beast doing science and mm-hmm. making this whole thing. And Beast trying to find a cure for himself is directly from the comics. It was also a big plot point for the Nicholas Holt version of the character in the X-Men First Class era. Have you seen the X-Men movies?
Nope.
Well, trust me, it was. So I thought that was kind of a neat bit of continuity mm-hmm. to pull from the comics to put in there, which X-Men the Animated Series in particular is great at taking these little nuggets of continuity and putting them in a pretty organic way. So I liked seeing that. I think overall, like, watching Spider-Man and Wolverine, like, run through this place and work together, I just thought was really cool.
It was kind of cool.
Because they're such iconic characters. And, like I said, I grew up loving these shows, and so to see them together, I know that I've seen this before, but it did not come back to me. So, like, each step was kind of new.
Well, Well, that's nice, at least. Yeah, I thought that bit where Wolverine is like, we need to get through. I'm just going to slash this wall with my claws.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's like, man, I need to give me one of those, yeah. basically. Yeah.
Spider-Man had a lot of, I mean, he's, you know, he's famously quippy, but I felt like he had a lot of good little, like, one-liners.
Yeah, he was very quippy
too.
In this in particular. Yeah. Yeah.
Love the cut to Hobgoblin taking like a CD-ROM and downloading all the data on his CD-ROM.
He even says it's a CD-ROM. He doesn't, yeah. he inserts it and it's like, he does this whole like computer, I'm, you know, accessing whatever yeah. and I'm downloading blah, blah, blah. And then it like, he like plants his Hobgoblin virus. But he even straight up says like, I now have all the plans on my CD-ROM.
I'm pretty sure it says CD-ROM on it. Like the thing
probably.
He's holding
says it looked more like a floppy disk, though.
It did look like a floppy disk. I know. Well, early disks were still kind of in that.
Okay,
in
okay.
cases like that.
That's before my time, but I believe
it's like,
you.
You see like a really early CGI rendering of the Hobgoblin
yes.
face being like,
being
your
like,
data was stolen.
Yeah, I am the computer now. Ha ha.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so yeah, so then we get to the point where they're trapped in the room. Wolverine cuts through the wall. Beast is still dangling above this, like an old Adam West Batman, like, villain trap. He's just dangling in this cage.
And he's all like, you don't need to do this. And, like, the one thing I will say is I don't feel like we get a ton of, like, concrete motivation for why Brand is, like, wanting to... I mean, it's like, okay, do you just hate mutants and you want to get rid of them? Or
yeah.
And maybe this is because it's coming in a little bit in the middle of the story, but I'm like, what's...
Yeah, I wasn't 100%.
Why are you doing this evil plan?
Well, I think it kind of makes sense when we get some reveals later on, but like why the Brand Corporation or why Landon in particular has such a vendetta, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a things go from bad to worse scenario when Wolverine tries to jump up and save... Beast, only to be knocked out, and then
Beast is like
holding
him,
Wolverine,
who's
over
unconscious
the vat.
Over the vat.
And this was like soap opera pacing. Him holding Wolverine over this vat is like the next 20 minutes of this show.
Well, and then Spider-Man, his like cage breaks, and Spider-Man yes. is holding the cage. He's like lying on this like crossbar holding the cage, and he's like, just don't make me laugh. And yeah. then like Wolverine is dangling, and Beast just in the middle, like,
and it is never ending. It's so
it goes
belabored.
On for so long.
Oh my gosh, it's awful. Spider-Man, yeah, the cage breaks because of the weight, and Spider-Man gets it. Now, why it's difficult for Spider-Man to lift two men in a cage is confusing to me.
Maybe it's
the other things he does.
Really heavy cage.
He also, at this point, chooses to not use any of his webbing.
Right, to like secure the cage.
To secure it, and all they had to do was be like, "Oh, and my web shooters were damaged or something."
Right,
or they don't.
They
They're
don't.
Just
He's
like,
just like, oh, "This seems like the best way
I
to handle this."
To hold this is what I'm going to do. So anyway, we cut to Kingpin, who has learned of the double cross. So he knows there's no mutant army being made. He knows that Landon plays him. And then Hobgoblin reveals it to Landon. So now, like, all the secrets are out
mm-hmm.
about everything.
And meanwhile, Hobgoblin is just, like, flying around on his scooter, like, causing chaos.
He's chaos. Yep. So we're still hanging over the chemicals after all this time, like, cut back and forth.
Oh,
still
my gosh.
Hanging over the,
so much chemical.
The chemicals. And then finally they get the idea, oh, instead of being still, why don't we swing this?
I think they don't do
side.
That until they've maybe like knocked out
Hobgoblin?
Hobgoblin.
Yeah, I guess.
And is that Landon gets pushed into the,
In the
into
yes.
the goop?
And then
is he pushed by Hobgoblin?
I can't
the goop?
Remember exactly how it goes.
Somehow he ends up in there.
Landon falls in the goop, and Beast is like, "Oh man, he studied so much about what it would do to mutants. He never even
tested
thought about
it on humans.
What
well,
it would do with humans." Yeah.
And I think that's when they're like, "All right, I guess we can swing ourselves out of this situation."
Yeah, yeah. So Landon's down, and he crawls out. And at first he seems normal, but then he starts like turning green and growing limbs and like really mutating. And they're like, whoa.
Yep. And Spider-Man's that's like, this is what I've always feared, that yeah. I will mutate into something like that.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude, this blue man is standing yeah. right next to you. Read the room.
True. They're not super kind to Beast a lot of the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. He really... It's a couple times where Beast is even, like, sad. Spider-Man says something. I think maybe it's this point. And
maybe.
Beast is like, oh...
Yeah.
Or later, when they're getting on the Blackbird, he's like, "I got this freak to come with me," and Beast is like,
"Well." And there's also that bit at the beginning where Spider-Man's like, "Oh, why would you help me?" And Beast's like, "Well, I may not look it, but I'm still human." And Spider-Man's like, "Well, I'm not sure I am."
Yeah. Yeah. There's a
oh
lot
my
of,
gosh.
There's a lot of sass. So anyway, Landon mutates, and for some reason, they just can't keep keep him in.
He gets bigger and bigger. He starts like eating the like electricity or whatever.
And there, he has an assistant named Genevieve who has been sort of present the whole time. Yes. Has not really been a part of it, but she's like, she's there. She's very anti-mutant.
Beast like tries to convince her. He's all like, you don't need to do this, you know, like, and she's like, well, mutants are so bad. Quotes Shakespeare.
Yes.
The lady doth protest too much.
Yes.
And then I think at the end, like right before they're about to start lowering Beast, she's like, are you sure we're doing the right thing? And Landon's like, definitely. And she's like, all right.
Well, and also when she and Peter are going to that assembly early on.
Yes.
She's like, I sure hope there's no muties in there. I don't want to sit by a mutie.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter's like,
I forgot about that.
He's like, I'm shocked at you. And then he just like runs away from
her. Yes, he just runs. Oh, my gosh.
Very funny. Okay, so Landon has mutated,
and he like grabs her with one of his like weird arm things.
Whatever, arm tendrils.
It's like a really long tendril-ish thing,
and he escapes. And they're like, "Oh, we're in the heart of the city. If he goes and starts like eating all this power, he's gonna go like full Godzilla, and we're not gonna be able to stop him." So they get out there. They call for backup. We see the Blackbird coming in, and Cyclops is like, "Oh, I heard you needed help." The X-Men roll in. Beast and Spidey then start coming up with like, okay, we don't have anything powerful enough to draw him away, but if we had this and we had this. And
they do a little science together.
Yeah, they go science nerd, and Beast is like, oh, there's a scientific mind behind that garish mask.
I thought that was kind of a fun little connection with them.
Insult him there, though? Doesn't he?
I don't remember.
Like, at least mine is a mask or something like that.
Probably. But I did think them doing science together was kind of fun.
Yeah, because it hadn't come up until that point.
Right.
And they don't know each other. So
right.
The fact that this hits. So they're on the Blackbird. Beast and Spidey are on the Blackbird, and they're doing some calibrations to make it sort of, it's like a draw for him, but it will also like suck the power back. It's a whole thing.
It's there's like magnets and
I don't think it was fully
transmitters
explained.
And
I couldn't swear
it's a little techno babble, you
made
know
sense, but I bought it. So they're using the Blackbird and they can't hold it, and the Blackbird is like,
they like try and grab him, like Rogue goes down I think and like wraps him up with like,
yeah, come on,
a cord or something. Yeah. And then they're like trying to like haul him up so that he's not grounded,
right?
Question mark.
Right.
But then he's like too heavy, and so,
so
it starts like sinking
falling.
Yeah.
And this is where Genevieve sort of outs herself and uses her power. Is it Genevieve? I'm saying
I
that.
Have no idea what her name is. I don't know if it was ever said. If it was, I totally missed
it.
I was just
up.
Like, this assistant lady. Okay.
So she starts using her power, and it looks like Aquaman talking to mollusks. And so
it like holds up the ship.
Boop, 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 boop. She's holding up the Blackbird, and Beast sees this. And then we kind of figure out, okay, well, she must have been the one who saved it earlier. She's kind of been working behind the scenes. She thought that it was a cure, I think, for the mutant gene for a long time. And then kind of figured out later on that that wasn't it. I think that's why she showed a little bit of ambivalence about Beast. But she sets it down, and they're like, what happened? And Beast is just like, she's a mutant. She used her power. I was like,
just like
whoa.
Zero chill.
Whoa.
He's like, well, I'm going to just fully out this lady.
I guess we're just outing mutants at this point. I was a little surprised.
But he's also kind of like, I've suspected this for a long time. And I'm like, haven't you only been in the cage for like maybe 5 hours?
Exactly. A long time. Time is relative. But he does. He offers to help her meet Professor X and like control her powers and everything. Would have been very cool if this carried over into the X-Men, the animated series. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Never does.
She's not like a character that shows up anywhere else.
Not a thing who shows up. Mm-hmm. If she shows up in the comics or something, I don't know. But she does not show up on the show, which would have been kind of a cool
crossover.
Like, yeah, we're saying it's a crossover, but it is in the sense that the X-Men come to Spider-Man. It's not like one episode is on X-Men and one is on Spider-Man.
Right. Okay.
Would have been cool, but still, I like that it happened. Jubilee is into Spider-Man. She likes what he's got to offer, which is kind of a thing. Jubilee also had a crush on Longshot and pretty much anybody who.
Fair enough.
And Jubilee likes it. Wolverine really has a change of heart towards Spider-Man at the end. He's like, hey, don't be a hero. You're not alone. If you need help, we're all around you. We're a circle of friends. Like, he really.
That's true. And Spider-Man's like, you're right. I could have asked for help all along.
Yeah. It's a very moving experience that they all have together. And that's pretty much it. Spider-Man has made some new friends.
And then doesn't he show up at like, he goes together. To like some doctor to try and help him?
Yes. He remembers his friend Mariah Crawford, and he's going to go and talk to her about a cure that he's been reluctant to do, but the X-Men have shown him, they've taught him love and friendship. So and Nightcrawler wasn't even there. Nightcrawler has these episodes, and he is so devoutly Christian.
Oh my gosh.
Like, leads Wolverine to salvation.
It's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, you should go listen to those episodes because it is startling.
Wow.
But so Nightcrawler wasn't even there, and it was still this very wholesome, heartwarming ending with Wolverine and Spider-Man.
I just can only picture a worm every time you say Nightcrawler, though, but I'm okay with that.
No, he's not
just
a worm.
Just like a big worm.
Yeah, like in Dune.
I haven't.
Okay. I shouldn't
I believe you. I know there's worms in Dune.
I shouldn't have brought it up. And that's it. That's our crossover. A few things that I noticed, and we talked about some of them. There were slight difference just in the designs. They're pretty faithful to how the X-Men look in X-Men the Animated Series. Just little tweaks and some of their like their facial features and even some of the elements of the costumes do really kind of skew more towards the Spider-Man the Animated Series look overall,
which I guess kind of makes sense. Kind of give it a blend.
Because it is like this, you know, it's like the Spider-Manified versions of those costumes, which I just thought was cool to see. And I would have liked it the other way. We saw some versions of Spider-Man show up as sort of cameos in X-Men, the Animated Series. But this is kind of the biggest and closest thing we get to a true crossover in these. Because it was these two shows and then Avengers United We Stand was kind of in the wheelhouse of these shows. And there was like Silver Surfer and Iron Man, Fantastic Four. But these two shows, I feel like, were really linked just because of the time they were airing. And they were both just sort of like the big thing at the moment. So I had a good time revisiting them more, I think, because of my love for Spider-Man, the Spider-Man animated series. And it's been so long since I've rewatched it. This was really fun for me to see. How did you feel coming in cold on both shows and not super familiar with the X-Men?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, there was a little bit of like at the beginning, I was like, okay, trying to like figure out who was who, that kind of thing. And I mean, like I am fairly familiar with Spider-Man as a character.
Yeah.
But again, I was like, I don't know. He was so whiny.
Yeah.
That I feel like I actually enjoyed the X-Men characters more, even though I'm less familiar with them. Because I was like, well, somebody's got to, you know, be the emotionally mature one in this situation. Yeah. And it was definitely Beast.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
But yeah, I thought it was fun. And I was kind of like, man, maybe I should watch more of these shows.
Yeah.
Despite the melodrama.
I feel like this was a really good display of Beast and like Beast's own struggle with his mutation. I felt like the fact that they went into the fact that Beast is sympathetic to Spider-Man wanting to prevent this mutation, because that's what happens to Beast in the comics, in the original X-Men stuff. Beast is just more like kind of a hulking guy who's very agile and strong and quick reflexes and stuff. And the mutation progresses so that he is like the, you know, the blue sort of quote monster that you see. So he's very much as a character aware of what it means to have your mutation like kind of go to where it's manageable.
Right.
And you can like go to the mall to when it's chaotic.
Right.
Like, you know, he feels later on. So I liked that they took the time to do that. And getting the Beast flashback to his early days, especially like in the Spider-Man show, I thought was another added touch that I don't really remember seeing something like that in X-Men the Animated Series.
Yeah, that's
Eric
fair.
Eric can fact check me if that's wrong. But
sounds good. I felt like Beast was really the most valuable player of this like episode pairing.
Yep.
He was definitely
for sure
bringing it home.
For sure. I love the Spider-Man voice. The melodrama as a kid really worked for me. But I was also watching Beverly Hills 90210 at the same time. So maybe that's just what I was after.
I felt like the melodrama was enough that rather than being like, oh my gosh, I could be like, all right, this is kind of, you know, like it's gone far enough that it's fun, if that makes sense.
I feel like Spider-Man stayed pretty serialized throughout. I don't think it had the same changes that X-Men had. And even like this, even I mean, we're watching like parts, what, like 4 and 5 or 3 and 4, something
like that.
It's like in the middle of a much longer arc. And I still didn't really feel lost necessarily.
Yeah, for sure.
I think in a lot of ways it's managing the whole drop-in option, but with a larger story, a little better than some eras of X-Men the Animated Series. So interesting to see that overall. Did this spark your interest in sitting down and watching these shows more?
Maybe, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Are you just lying? Because we're on somebody else's show?
I'm telling the truth.
Oh, look at you. This is telling the truth.
This is honest. Okay. Well, the issue is I don't always watch a lot of shows by myself. So I feel like the intention, the desire to watch more might not actually turn into the reality of watching much more.
I mean,
but I could see being like, yeah, all right.
I know your husband a little and I know how many times he's played the Miles Morales version of the Spider-Man
game. It's a lot of times.
If you said we should watch Spider-Man the Animated Series, I think you would have a willing
I think it would probably be an easy sell. Yeah.
In that. Yeah. Okay. Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
Visiting Spider-Man the Animated Series, popping in on somebody else's show. I don't think we messed it up, so
I hope not.
I think that's pretty good.
All right, well, next animated episodes, Eric and Hillary will return. You're probably glad to hear that, that they're going to be back with the four-parter Beyond Good and Evil.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that.
Yes. And Beyond Good and Evil has kind of an interesting history because it was written and sort of produced as the finale of the whole series. And then they were like, you know what? Let's do one more season. So it's kind of like watching this is sort of like both a conclusion and not really a conclusion.
That's
so it'll be
cool.
Interesting to see
interesting.
What they have to say about it.
Nice.
You can always catch Allie and I every other week on But Have You Tried from the David A. Howe Public Library.
That's true.
Where we trade off different things.
All kinds of different things.
Because we tend to like similar things, but know completely different things.
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man the Animated Series.
I think a lot
of
that has to do with the fact that you have a mug that's older than I am.
Well, that could be true. What a delicate way to say that I'm an elderly man.
I mean, another way of looking at it is that I'm basically a child. So it all depends on your perspective.
Yeah, you have a youthful outlook on life. Okay, well, Allie, I will see you on But Have You Tried.
Sounds good. Well, thank you to Prophetic Music for our theme song. Previous Line X-Men is brought to you by the Radio Meanwhile Network. Make sure you check out the other April Fool's Day swaps that we mentioned earlier, like with Hillary on But Have You Tried, and Eric on 90210 Here We Go, Nick on 90s Music Got Me Like, and Kendra on This Andorian Life. Follow us on Facebook, and be sure to follow the network on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads for info on all our shows. Please rate, subscribe, or share this show wherever you get your podcasts.
So long.
Peace.